I wonder if any of you have ever seen a giant snowslide, mudslide. Maybe you've seen pictures of them. And you know, I've seen some places in Alaska. I was fortunate not to be right there, but you can see where it's literally took a whole swath of trees and everything, cleared the whole thing all the way down to the bottom. And when you see a slide like that, you realize that it's powerful. It's big. And what it does, it picks up everything in its tracks and takes it along with it and becomes more powerful as it goes until it reaches the bottom. And it's very devastating. It'll just absolutely, there's no stopping it. There's no stopping it. And you know, we're living in a time, an age, when it seems like the path of evil is getting worse and worse and worse. And it's like a giant landslide that this thing has got momentum going. I'm amazed that just over the last few years, how this momentum is going and the world is becoming more and more wicked. And it seems like it's impossible to stop this. It seems like it's an impossibility. But we're going to have some, besides the bad news tonight, I want you to know there is some good news. And first I want to read a scripture found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. This kind of explains really what our world is really like today. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 7. It said, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Father, we look to you tonight. I'm asking you by the power of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see what you're speaking to us tonight and open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us tonight. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will make the vision clear, that you will make the message clear and bring understanding to us so that we might know what you're doing, that there is hope for our world because you are our hope. And Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose in the midst of all the evil, all the turmoil, everything that's going on around about us. You have a plan and a purpose for us. And Lord, we just look unto you right now in the name of Jesus. We just give this service over to you in Jesus' name. Wonder what kind of imagination do you have? You have a pretty good imagination. I want you to close your eyes, and I'm going to be bringing something to your attention. I want you to close your eyes and think about what I'm saying. Imagine that you're in a war zone. There's a battle going on. There's casualties all around. In the midst of all the death and carnage, there appear to be people walking around doing their normal activities, having fun, partying, seemingly oblivious to what is happening all around them. There are also quote-unquote Christians who seem to be caught up in the quest for worldly possessions and activities. They also seem to be oblivious to what is transpiring around about them. There seems to be a slow progression of people headed for a drop-off that disappears into a chasm, for which are screams of terror. Demon activity is occurring all around, with the devils persuading the gullible that all is well, and no one seems to hear the screams until it is too late, and they also disappear from sight. However, there appear to be a few who recognize the danger and are trying to warn the people around about them and to try to change their direction. Sadly, not very many people seem to pay attention, and there are few that change their course to avert disaster. The ones who have turned around have had their eyes opened, and they also try to persuade others to go with them to safety. But in comparison to those that are headed for disaster, though, there appears to be very few who find their way to safety. Surely there's got to be an answer to this dilemma. Surely it is not God's plan to have the enemy destroy the very people who were created in the image of God. Surely God has a plan to change this picture, and that plan involves His people. Where do we fit into this plan? God's looking for soldiers today. There's an answer to the problems, as we're going to see tonight. And I want you to pay attention to the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 4 says, Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in spirit in the warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. The Word of God is very, very strong on this. 2 Timothy 2, 10 to 15 says, Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to prepare ourselves for this battle that we're in, for we are in a battle, a great battle, in these last days of time. So Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, talks us about what we're supposed to do. It said, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up or put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. So there's some requirements to be prepared for this battle. First of all, we're to be strong. We're to be strong. 2 Timothy 2:1 that we just previously read says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Grace is the unmerited favor, but He has graced us with His power. He's taken us out of this world, out of our wicked ways that we were walking in, and He's endued us with power from on high. He's forgiven us of our sins, and He's endued us with His power. It's His grace that He has given unto us that empowers us to walk in the way that we need to walk. So this grace is a power. It's a power source. Hallelujah. And so we're to walk, be strong in that grace that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:11 kind of brings a little bit more on this. It said, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit that dwells in you. I want you to think about the power of God that came on Jesus to raise Him from the dead. That same power is upon us. That same power is made available to us and literally changes our life and brings us from what was into what we will be. And we're not there yet. We're growing. We're headed that direction. And we're going in that. We have a purpose. We have a plan. We have our eyesight on Jesus. And we're headed in that direction. Hallelujah. And we have great power to be able to do that. Praise God. Then, secondly, we're to be strong. Ephesians 6:10, we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's interesting. One was, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 6, Paul talks about being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It means being made strong. We can't do it ourselves. It's His strength that we're relying upon. It's His power that He endues us with and gives us the power to be able to do the things that He wants us to do. He's equipped us with His power. Hallelujah. So it's not from ourselves, but it's from Him. So we can rely on Him. Hallelujah. We don't have to depend on ourselves. We don't have to try to work it up. Hallelujah. It's already given to us. It's already been done. And it's a matter of us recognizing it and learning to walk in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So then it says, put on the whole armor of God. You have to put it on. When you get saved, you just, you know, it's just, oh, we're okay. You know, we just kind of go through life. Everything's good. No, you have to put on the armor yourself. You have to do it. He doesn't just automatically do it. You have to do it. So that you might stand, be able to stand against the wiles or the schemings of the devil. You know, the devil's been around a long time. He's been around a long time. You know, you think, well, we're just here, you know, for a short period of just a few years. But he's been around this whole time the earth, you know, has been going on and all humanity way back to the beginning. And how far back beyond that, I'm not sure. The Bible isn't really clear on that. But he's been around a long time and he's had plenty of time to scheme what he's going to do against God. He hates God with a passion. And he knows he can't touch God. So he goes after his creation. He goes after you and I. His goal is to destroy God's plan that God has for you and I. That's his goal. It's to destroy that. So he comes against, not against God, he comes against his people. And so his people have to have their eyes opened. And you have to put on this armor of God because he's got lots of schemes going on. Lots of his wily character. He's got lots of schemes, lots of plans, lots of tricks. However, the main thing I seem to see from the devil, he pulls the same thing on us and he keeps getting away with it that he pulled on Eve. He gets you to distrust what God said. Has God really said this? Can we really depend on that? I mean, yo, give me a break, you know? No. That's what he does. Yeah, he gets away with that time after time after time again. We fall for that lie And we don't seem to realize that God's word is what is truth. And what the devil's doing is just lying to us. He makes all these promises that he never keeps. And if he didn't keep the promise would put you in hell. That's what his goal is. Verse 12 there in Ephesians 6, he said, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." People are not our enemy. You know, that's something we need to recognize. You know, sure, people may do things to us, but people are not our enemy. Our enemy is not people. But it's against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And these are kind of hierarchies in rules of authority under the devil. And notice where they're found. They're found in heavenly places. Now, Ephesians 2:6 is an interesting scripture. It says, "And raised us up together," God says this, "raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Where does he bring us? He brings us up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But what else is there in heavenly places? Oh, the devil's up there. The devil's. All these principalities and powers are in the heavenly places. And God raised us up together with him. You know, sometimes we think, wow, that's really something. We get to sit with Jesus here. You know, we're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is tremendous. Wow. You know, we can just sit back and relax and everything's okay. No, he's bringing us into the battle. Amen. You realize that up there is where the battle's going on. And he's putting us right in the middle of the battle. We're going to find some other things interesting about this. Ephesians 3, 9 to 12 says, "And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ." This is bringing us into the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church. No, it doesn't say that. That the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So God very uniquely takes us up from here in the heavenly places in Christ, and he's given us, the church, and this is where we're still growing and still grasping all of this stuff and finding out who we really are in God. But he's grasping, he's brought us up in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and he's going, that knowledge and everything that God has, which we're learning, and we're learning to grow in that, he's taking that we have, and he's using that against the enemy. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. The manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Praise God.
This is according to His eternal purpose. This is what He planned from way back. And this has been kind of hidden through the ages up until this time. In these last days especially, that He's going to raise us up into heavenly places. And He's going to endue us with this knowledge about where we really are. His knowledge about God. The knowledge about the wisdom of God. And He's using that for us to come against the enemy, against the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. So you see, the battle isn't against flesh and blood down here. The battle is against the heavenly, those rulers up there in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So you see, all of this backs it up. These things have been determined by God for you and I. We have a place to be. We have a position to be in. We have to fill that position. And that position, those works, have been planned by God before the worlds began. Been planned by God before the worlds began. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we should walk in them. We should walk in them. And notice, it says we are in heavenly places. We are seated with Christ. I want you to know something about that seated. That seated means that the victory is already won. He's already wiped out the devil. And the devil knows it, but he doesn't want you and I to know it. Because when we see that, when we recognize that, and we take our stand, when we take our place and our position that God intended for us from before the ages began, when we find that place and get into it, the devil is going to be like that. We're going to have tremendous ability to shut him down. What did Jesus came? He came to destroy the works of the devil. And He sent us to do the very same thing. Hallelujah. It didn't stop when He went back to heaven. He sent us to do the very same thing. Praise God. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, but if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the church, or stay of the church. It's like a peg that's stuck in the ground. Keep the tent from blowing away. It's something that you can depend on. Hallelujah. How you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. The way we conduct ourselves in the house of God is not to be, oh, the devil's getting me down. I just don't have any, I don't know what's going on. The devil just got me all wiped out and everything. Is that how we are supposed to handle? No! Hallelujah. God's bigger than that. We need to recognize that. Hallelujah. How are you to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground or stay of the church? I'd like you to read what Barnes Note says about that. The truth of God is that revealed truth which He has given to save the world was entrusted to the church, that it was designed to preserve it pure, to defend it, and to transmit it into future times. It didn't just start back here and then in. No, to transmit it into future times, down into the very day that we're living in today. Hallelujah. And that therefore everyone to whom the administration of the affairs of the church was entrusted should engage in this duty with a deep conviction of responsibility. I'm responsible to do what God wants me to do. When He tells me to do something, I need to do it. I'm not supposed to back off and say, oh, I don't know, I don't feel like it. I'm kind of scared. I don't want to upset somebody, you know. No, we're supposed to do what God wants us to do. That's our responsibility. Truth is supported by the church as an edifice is by a pillar. And on the other hand, the truth rests on the church as a house does on its foundation. So it's like a two-sided thing. One rests on the other, and the other rests on the other. It's a two-sided thing. It is that which makes it fixed, stable, permanent, that on which it securely stands amidst the storms and tempests, that which renders it firm when systems of air are swept away as a house that is built on the sand. So it's something that is solid, something that will stand the storms, and the air is the part that's supposed to be swept away like a house built on sand. That's kind of what it's all about. So our battle is not with men, but with the evil forces in the heavens that affect the affairs of mankind. That is why Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan and has also given us the same task. The work is done as we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We don't do it in our own strength. We don't have to work up something the work's already done. Hallelujah. We are resting in the job and the completion of the work that Jesus has already accomplished. The victory has been won. So we're seated with Him in the sense that we are we're just sitting back, relaxing. God, You said this was true, and I'm believing it, and it's going to happen. Hallelujah. I don't have to work it all up or anything. It's going to happen because He said it's going to happen. Hallelujah. And I believe it, and I'm going to stand on it. Glory to God. We must become workers together with Christ. Workers together with Christ. The apostles, they didn't go out there and do the stuff for themselves. You read about in the, Mark chapter 16, at the end there. And they said, they went out, preached the word everywhere. The Lord confirming the word with signs following. And the Lord was with them, you know, and accomplished the work. Hallelujah. Praise God. So they become workers together with God. Praise the Lord. Now this idea here that transmitted to future times, it's interesting in 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, it says, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And that's our goal in the church. Our goal isn't just to do this stuff, but it's to teach others to be doing this stuff. And then they go and teach others to be doing this stuff. And this thing grows. And it gets the work done. It gets the job done. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 6. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing," where? "In the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved." So He's blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So I think the best way to get the blessings is to get into heavenly places. Hallelujah. The Bible says we're there. We need to believe it. We need to get into the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's where every spiritual blessing comes to us from. Glory to God. Verse 13 of Ephesians 6. "Therefore, take up or put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." We're in the battle, and we need to stand in the gap or the place where we were assigned. God says, "Won't you stand right here? Stand. You stand against the enemy. Stay right there. That's where you belong. And you fight off the enemy from there. The enemy's not coming through here, because I have the power of God within me. It's going to keep him from breaching this line, from coming through here." So we need to stand in the gap. God has a place for every one of us. He has a place for every one of us, every single one of us. He has a place for us. Praise God. And then in verse 14 it says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then there's a different side that we see here on truth. Isaiah 59:14-15. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. An interesting scripture. Truth is fallen in the street. Righteousness stands afar off. You know, in this world, we've kind of, I don't know. You know, they talk about the seven mountains. One of them was the home. One of them was the family. One of them was the church. One of them's government. One of them's, you know, the entertainment industry, et cetera, et cetera. One's business. The church over the years just kind of taken the deal, well, we're just concerned with the church or with the family, you know. We just, you know, we won't worry about the rest of it. And basically what we've done, we let the devil have all the other mountains. The devil's big time in the government. The devil's big time into the entertainment industry. The devil's big time in the business. He's big time into all the education system, all those things. The devil's big time into all those things. Truth has fallen in the streets, and we've sat back and let it happen as a church. The quote-unquote church has allowed that to happen. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil then makes himself a prey. You know, you can get out there in the world, you can be friends with the world, and everything's great. They love you, everything's great. But you turn to the Lord and see how fast you're loved. Boy, they turn their back on you right now. They go against you. They throw everything they can. They try everything they can to drag you back down to the pit that you came out of. They'll do everything they can. You look what happens in the Muslim world. What happens when you get a Muslim saved? Man, it's like they put a contract on his life. His days are numbered, you know. So that's kind of the way it works. Truth fails. So he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. So they got to come out. There's great persecution that happens in a lot of those countries when they come out. In a lot of the countries, you can even accept Jesus, and that's not quite so bad. But when you're baptized in water, look out. It's like that is the, you have just demonstrated to the world that this thing has happened in your life. And boy, they're after you. They're after you right now. They know you mean business when you do that. They know you mean business when you do that. Romans 1:18-28. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, who exchange the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the Creator rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive a love for the truth, that they might be saved. Truth protects the inner man. You will get nowhere in God, unless you walk in truth. You know, a lot of times our lives are very lie. We're lying to ourselves because we know some things. We're supposed to be making some changes, and we're not. And we just kind of lie to ourselves. And we're okay. We're okay with God. God's not going to harm us. God's a God of love. He'll forgive us. Everything's okay. Everything's fine. So we walk in this lie. Do you want to know something? You will never go anywhere in God walking a lie. until when the Holy Spirit convicts us of something, unless we do something with that, we're walking in the lie. And if God convicts us of something like that and we reject it, we're walking in the lie. That's as far as he's going to go with us. He cannot go any farther than that because we're rejecting his counsel. We're rejecting what he's said, what he's revealed to us. The Holy Spirit reveals truth to us. And the only way we're going to go any worse than God is when we will believe the truth and says, yes, Lord, I have failed. I have done this. Forgive me from that. Then God will work in you. Then God will take you further. But you will never go anywhere else with God until you confront the lie. And that's what it is. It's a lie out there. The devil produces this lie out there, and people have believed the lie. And that lie is going to lead them. Pretty soon, if you go with it long enough, reject the truth, you don't have a love for the truth, God will turn you over to a reprobate mind. And that you've seen that happen so often. And those people really believe that they're okay. They really believe that they're walking in truth out there. But it's a lie. They've gone past the point of no return. Then it says to put on the breastplate of righteousness in verse 14. This secures the vitals and protects our heart. Believers have the righteousness of Christ. We do. We have the righteousness of Christ. But I believe when it talks about putting on the righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, I think maybe it might be more that this may be the practical righteous character and deeds of the believer that we must put on. We need, you know, he's given us his righteousness. We're clothed in his righteousness. But now what he wants us to do is to demonstrate this righteousness to the whole world around about us. And I believe that's what, when we're putting it on, I think that's what he's really talking about. We need to put this, we need to wear it. It needs to become a part of us. Hallelujah. And that means living out that righteousness that Christ has placed within us. And so when he talks about putting on the breastplate of righteousness, I think maybe it covers that part of it also. In Revelation 19, said, Now I saw heaven open, behold the white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. 1 John 2:29 says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So if you want to be born of God, you have to have righteousness. You have to have his righteousness, or you're not born of God. Just that simple. So we need that breastplate of righteousness, and that protects our heart. Protects our heart. And then it says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It signifies a prepared and resolved frame of heart to adhere to the gospel and abide by it. It brings peace with God, with ourselves, and with one another. It's a firm foundation on which Christians are to stand. A Christian soldier should be ready to go out and defend and spread the gospel, to spread the good news, to defend it and to spread it. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:17, it says, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. So we need that gospel of the preparation of peace. And then it says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Shield of faith. 1 John 4:5, it says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. That's what's overcome the world. Flaming arrows could not penetrate the fireproof shield of an ancient Roman soldier. And the assaults of Satan cannot penetrate the shield that you have either. Cannot penetrate that. Habakkuk 2:4 says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. Acts 6:8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. He knew who he was. He knew who he was. And he did, he was full of faith and power and did great wonders and signs among the people. Acts 11:24. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Romans 1:17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So how do we get this faith? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we need to pay attention to the word of God. We need to pay attention to the preaching of the word of God. It builds faith within us. Builds faith within us. Hallelujah. Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Don't ever say, I don't have any faith. I don't have any faith. No, God's dealt to everyone a measure of faith. You might not have much faith, but it says all it takes is a faith as a seed of mustard seed, that small, can accomplish something for God. Hallelujah. So God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So we need that shield of faith. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. So we're to stand fast in that faith that God has given us. Stand fast in it. 2 Corinthians 3:5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. So there's a way of examining ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. So what Pastor talks about, he said, going out, he said, try it. Go out, you get a chance to witness somebody? Do it. Get a chance to pray for somebody? Do it. Test out your faith. Test it out. And see what God will do. Things might not happen like we hope they might happen right away. But if we keep on doing it, pretty soon things will start happening. And things will start taking place. Hallelujah. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So here's the idea of being crucified. I'm crucified with Christ, so I'm dead. All my ambitions, my worldly ambitions, everything, dead. Put them down. They're dead. Now you are what Christ raises up within you. And you are walking by faith in him. Hallelujah. And you're able to accomplish something through him. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then it says, and take the helmet of salvation. You know, you really aren't getting any worse without salvation. Salvation is kind of the starting point. If you don't have salvation, you can do all the rest of this stuff and it's meaningless. You need salvation. Salvation puts you in the right spot, in the right position. So we need the helmet of salvation. It protects the head and the brain. Spiritually, it protects the mind. The mind is the enemy's battleground. The mind is that part of you that the enemy comes to and starts talking these little things, you know, that sometimes we listen to. And we're supposed to shut him down and start saying what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Amen. So he comes to us in the mind, and the mind's the battleground. If we can get our mind off of the devil and get it onto what God is saying and hold to that, we can start seeing some results in our lives. Hallelujah. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So if you want power, you want a place where you're secure, Isaiah 26. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Hallelujah. Romans 7:23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. See, that's another law that's there. And that's the one that we have to watch out. Against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. And then 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. So that's one big secret there. Take the helmet of salvation. It protects the mind, protects that from the enemy. Hallelujah. And then it says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the only offensive weapon that is mentioned here. Not necessarily the Bible as a whole, but a rhema or specific word needs to be spoken in a specific situation. Not just the Word of God. But when you're dealing with somebody or whatever, God can give you a rhema word that's scripture that'll be just for that situation, just for that time, just for that occasion. Hallelujah. And it'll be exactly what is needed for that particular period of time. A person must know the Bible intimately in order to have that specific word ready. This is like a treasure. It's like an encyclopedia. When you read the Word of God and everything, then the Holy Spirit has got something to draw on to give you when you need that particular word. This doesn't mean you're going to be memorizing the whole Bible. But it means when you understand the Bible, when you're reading it, when you're keeping up to date on your reading and reading the Word of God, that Holy Spirit is able to pull something back to your memory when you need it. Hallelujah. Isn't that one of the things he says? When he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will bring to your mind all the things that I've said to you. So this is something that the Holy Spirit will give to you, that specific word. That's that rhema word. The sword of the Spirit. And that rhema word is going to accomplish something in somebody's life. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Well, I'll tell you one thing, the Holy Word, the Word of God, the Spirit, it can get right down into the nitty-gritty. Amen. It separates everything. It separates the motives. It separates everything. Why we're doing something, it can separate that. It just clears up a whole lot of things. And the Word of God is very powerful. Hallelujah. Amen. And as Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So you see, that rhema, that Word of God, that sword of the Spirit that we have, is used not because we can do it, but the Holy Spirit can give us that word for that occasion to accomplish that purpose that can change somebody's destiny or can change somebody's direction and do exactly what he intended it to do. God does not give you a word for somebody and have it fall to the ground. That's what I liked about Samuel the prophet. And he said, the Lord let none of his words fall to the ground. When Samuel spoke, it came to pass. There was no this or that. This didn't happen over here. No, that didn't happen. No, it all happened. What he spoke came to pass. Hallelujah. The Lord let none of his words fall to the ground. And then it says, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Without prayer, the armor is useless. Without prayer, the armor is useless. General and specific prayers and petitions in the Spirit are to be made for all believers and all occasions, and perseverance and patience are essential. You know, sometimes we do something, you know, and then we're waiting around and nothing seems to happen. And we go, well, I'll give up. I guess God's not going to do it. You know, we just throw our hands in the air and walk away. Hebrews 10, verse 35 and 6, though, says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You might receive the promise. So it might, you know, God doesn't always pay on Fridays. You know, it doesn't always happen when we want it to happen. We get kind of exuberant in the Lord sometimes. We get sick and say that, oh, let's heal him right now, you know. Well, it's going to happen when God says, yes, I'll be healed. But it's going to happen in God's timetable. And it's going to happen the way that God says. Even Jesus went about and he healed people, different people in different ways. Some places he'd spit on the ground and mix a little mud and stuff it in their eye sockets. You know, and he did it different ways, different times, different, you know, and God is like that. He's a God of variety. He knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. He knows what he's doing. I'd like to mention one other thing. I'm just going back to this one scripture again just for a moment. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. A little story about a burglar that broke into this house, and he gets the door shut behind him. And he's kind of walking in the darkness. He's starting to go across the floor. And all of a sudden, he hears a word. He said, I see you, and Jesus does too. And he runs back to the door, and he's almost ready to go back out the door. And he goes, what in the world is that? And so he goes out there again a little bit and starts walking that way. He said, I see you, and so does Jesus. And he didn't know what in the world to do. So he had a flashlight. He just kind of real carefully, just he didn't want to turn too much of a beam, and he put a little beam. It's a parrot sitting there talking to him. He said, oh, man, just a parrot. But then he sees a couple of bright deals down there. And he shines it down a little bit. Here's a big Doberman. And the parrot says, sig him, Jesus. You know? And you know, when you think about it, that's what God is like. We're like the parrot, you know? We're just sitting there on our little perch, you know, doing our thing. And, you know, when the devil comes against us or something, he says, sing him, Jesus. We can sing him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Have the victory. Hallelujah. Well, we're living in perilous times of the last days that Paul warned Timothy about. And over the years, even as Israel slipped from being the light to the world to bring the blessings of God, the blessings of Abraham to the nations, even so, the church has fallen down on her responsibilities of bringing the kingdom of God down into this world. As a result, we've given place to the devil and allowed great evil to come into our world, with the result that many people have no knowledge of God and they don't realize the great danger of perishing in hell fires. God is calling us back to our assignment that he had planned for us from the beginning of the age. It's time for us to put on the armor of God that God has provided for us, not only to protect us from the enemy, but also to equip us to take the battle to the enemy. There's lost ones out there, and they need to hear the good news of the gospel. There's a battle that's fought, needs to be fought, and we must learn to counteract the lies of the enemy. We must arise to our place with Christ in heavenly places and be ready to take our stand against the enemy forces that are arrayed against us, recognizing that greater is He that's within us than he that's of the world. Christ has already won the battle. He's already won the battle. And He just needs us to stand on His promises and stand in the gap for the lost. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is very powerful. And when we learn by the Spirit's direction and leading to use it effectively against the enemy, it will not return void, but will accomplish what He sent it out to accomplish. Speaking out that rhema word that God gives us into the principalities and powers in the heavenly places will destroy the works of the devil and usher in the kingdom to our situation here. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4 says, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We must walk in truth, knowing that He is faithful and that He's promised that He will be with us to the end of the age. So there's a battle out there. There's a war. It looks, you know, in the natural, it looks impossible. It says, how can we possibly do this? But God's given us a way. One of the things we need to do is to get up into the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We need to get that weapons of our warfare put on it. We need the helmet of salvation, the truth, and all these things. We need to be clothed in them. And we need to get that sword of the Spirit operating. Because it's by the church that the manifold wisdom of God is going to be made to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So that's what our job is. So what we're learning, now, is learning where we are in the Lord. We're learning who we are in the Lord. We're learning who has the power. We're, by faith, we're putting on the Lord Jesus, hallelujah, on His righteousness. And we're learning how to take our stand against the wiles and the schemings of the enemy and be able to do our part in bringing this world back to Jesus. I'd like us to bow our heads. Father, I thank You for Your Word. It's powerful. And Lord, I pray that You will help us all to be willing to be soldiers for You. Help us, Lord, to be willing to take our stand. Help us, Lord, to leave off the affairs of this life, Lord, and be willing to get up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And to put You on, to put on our warfare, our weapons, and all that stuff, Lord. And that we might walk in that, and that we might accomplish Your purpose. God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, what the Spirit is saying to us tonight. And I pray that You would put a willingness within our hearts to be true soldiers of the cross. Hallelujah. Father, we just commit each life into Your hands tonight.